Alright, quieting down now. Live from the Brit and Yankee Pub Studios. Another Brit and Yankee Craft Beer Pubcast. I can hear the pints being pulled right now.
Knock the wild dune, bring the drums in, let's have a party. Pump up the bitter. Shh, test it. Pump up the bitter. Pump up the bitter.
Take it away, lad. You are paying for that beer, aren't you?
Pump up the bitter. Pump up the bitter.
Okay, so the Brit and the lovely Kimberly have headed down to brewery number 3 here in Griffith, Pokro Brewing.
Yes, we are.
Which is a wonderful environment as you walk into it. It's almost like a nice little friendly low ceiling environment. Standing behind the bar at the moment, and who was actually cleaning the lines when we came in, is partner, owner, assistant brewer, operations man, Mr. Dave.
He does everything.
Dave Gazinski. Now, yes, have I got that last name right?
Yes, you are correct.
All right. First of all, Dave, thanks a lot for taking time out. I know we're here just ahead of opening. Pokro, tell us about the name.
The Pokro name comes from my partner, Joe Pokropinski. He's the one who originated this brewery that we started. He started brewing when he was very young. He was underage. His mom got him a Mr. Beer kit for Christmas.
Hey, I started on Mr. Beer. Yeah.
And started tinkering with it and really took a passion to it. And over the years, he home brewed, and we all kept telling him, hey, you need to make this happen. You need to make this bigger. And finally, three and a half years ago, we pulled the trigger and said, let's do it. And they started it out, and then I joined them shortly after, and that's where the Pokro name comes from, or the Pokro name, as it should, Polish ways.
Said it, Pokro,
Yeah, Pokro, Pokro, either that's way. Definitely. And that's how that name originated, and it's, they're two Polish breweries, so that go right from the name all the way down. If you do the full name, it's got the ski on the end of it, so you definitely know it's Polish at that point.
And one of the nice styles of beer that I didn't even know existed until I was down at Urban Chestnut, a German brewery in St. Louis, is, and I'm going to ruin this one, Grodzicki. Okay, yes. And for those who don't know, that is what I would describe as a Polish lager with smoke?
Yeah, we use a smoked wheat malt when we do that beer, and it's a true traditional recipe that it's an old Polish recipe that we kind of tried to stick true to. And it's got good flavor to it. Not real hoppy, more of a dark, not real dark, kind of a mid-color beer, good malty base to it. Not a whole lot of hops in it, it's more of the malts than anything, but it's a good flavorful beer.
And what is the smoke come from, the malts, or do you actually use wood?
Yeah, no, we use the malts. The malts are smoked to make that beer. It's no liquid smoke or anything like that. It's all genuine.
You said that your styles were actually more Belgian oriented, but as I look at your tap list up here, I see you cover the gamut from an English strong ale, which we'll sample in a little bit, to smoked porters, but your flagship, I guess, or one you sell a lot of, is a Dirty Blonde.
Yes, our Dirty Blonde is our Belgian blonde ale that's got us a lot of notoriety since we opened. It gives you that complex because of the Belgian yeast and the yeast strain that we use. It kind of gives you the aroma of a bubblegum or a banana, depending on everybody's palate. And we have fun with people with this because when they sample it and we tell them, you're either going to get the taste or the smell of banana or bubblegum. And two people will be sitting next to it. One will get banana, one will get bubblegum. Really? And we just kind of show them that everybody's palates are different.
And I think, just to clarify that, because normally when people get those types of tastes, they're having a Hefeweizen or something
right,
like that.
Right, very close.
This is a little bit tempered on that side.
Yes.
Belgian spiciness is what I get, and that typical Belgian feel.
Yep.
I'm getting a real dryness at the end, because that was my first sample I had here. It's one of those beers you want to have another sip of, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It gives you a creamy mouthfeel. We tend to lean towards people who aren't really big into craft beer to try that. You know, even a lot of women that aren't really into beer drinkers like guys are as much. And we get a very good response. You know, they're like, oh, this isn't too hoppy. Because the first thing they say is that, you know, I don't want any hoppy beer. And, you know, so that's a good balance for them, where it's kind of got a milder to it, but a lot of flavor.
So have beer drinkers' palates changed? We had earlier today a discussion up at New Oberfalls, and we're talking about how the domestic beers obviously came from German traditional beers, sure, but slightly tempered, I guess, for the American palate as it was growing in back in the 1900s and things.
Yeah.
So today, you know, from this one being a beer that you would suggest people to start off with, I think this would be quite a strong change to what people might have had from a Coors Light or something like that,
yeah,
right? You do a cream ale. Is
yes.
that a kind of a transition beer? As we
yes.
like to call it, the tranny beer.
Yep, and you are exactly right. That is a milder beer that is kind of similar to a Pilsner style beer or an easy lager or something like that. You know, the biggest joke is that we do when people come in and they say, what do you got? Because Miller Lite's like a big thing around here, or Bud Light, and they're like, yeah, what do you got that's closest to Miller Lite? And we point to the water cooler. And we say, it's right over there. You know, and it's just an inside joke. Yeah. We're not slamming them guys. It's just fun we have. You know, a craft beer, it's just, you know, it's a lot different than that. And they once they do come in and they try it, they do get a lot of knowledge after that. It's like, oh, I didn't know that these beers existed, that I could drink something craft that's not going to be hoppy or, you know, too crazy for them.
So you've been here for 3.5 years, I think you
yes,
said,
sir.
Right?
Yep.
So what's the history and the story of how you guys decided to open up? And you are, if you're headed from I-80, you're coming south down Main Street?
Broad Street.
Yep. You'll come south down Broad Street and you'll be the first brewery you'll hit on the left.
Yes.
The other two guys are a little bit further down.
Yes.
This obviously used to be another building of some description before a brewery. So what's your history?
The history of this place is, it used to be way back in the day, it used to be the Gatlin building, which is Gatlin Plumbing, who they are in Griffith. And they've been here for over 100 years, their family. And, you know, Joe and I and Robin, we live in Griffith, you know, and in this building, they got out of that and went into a pottery place. It was a ceramic pottery place for a couple of years, and then it went into it was a dojo for a little while, and then when it
was a what?
A dojo, like a karate place.
Oh, right, were, okay.
Yeah. And then the place came up available, and you know, looked at it. It's downtown Griffith. It's a good spot, and had what we. I mean, it's we're roughly a little over 5,000 square foot, so we know the Gatlins, which we even made it even better, and created the bond with it, and decided to come here. And plus, yeah, being downtown is great too. I mean, we're just north of the actual downtown area, but works out well for us.
You said that this area has grown up a lot, changed a lot in the last few years, and you've got festivals going on. Oktoberfest is here this weekend, right?
Yes.
Are you at Oktoberfest?
Yes, we are at Oktoberfest with us, Wild Rose, and New Oberfalls, all three. The town does a really good thing of showcasing their local breweries. Even during the summer when we're on for Central Market, when they have that, we rotate. Every week, it's either one of us are rotating through there. And the community is really involved. The Oktoberfest is always a fun thing that we do. A lot of times we say that we let Gus take the lead on that one because that's kind of his area, being a German brewery, you know. So, you know, he that's his time to shine, you know, with that one. And we have fun with it, though, when we do it every year.
So you actually don't have an Oktoberfest?
No, we actually have our Rausch beer down there, which is our smoked porter down there. So we did a little different than this year.
And I have that one in front of me. And
yes,
I'm you said that I should try the English strong ale first, right?
Yes, because the palate's going to change once you hit that smoked porter.
Okay, we'll do that then. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. And what music do you like to listen to, Dave?
A little bit of everything. We do listen to everything here. Like right now, I got blues on just because it's a good mix of blues. But I'm a person that loves any kind of music.
All right, we'll go out with some good Chicago blues. How's that? Bring it to Indiana. We're talking English strong ale, one of my favorite styles there, Dave, obviously for obvious reasons. This one, oh, by the way, the Dirty Blonde comes in at 7.3, so I'm assuming you had a lot of Belgian candy in that.
Oh yeah, it's a, like I said, it's a good malt build beer that brings that flavor through, and kind of we have to tame it down a little bit with the Belgian yeast, but mm-hmm. it turns out really well that way.
Can I ask a stupid question?
No, only intelligent questions are allowed it on this program.
Okay, what is Belgian candy? I've heard you say it three times.
It's kind of a hard sugar. Right?
Oh, okay, that's what I imagined, yeah, but I wasn't sure.
I think it's spelled with a K, right, Dave?
Yeah. And we Abulicious is another one of our Belgian doubles that we do. We do feature it with the Belgian syrup in it, the candy syrup in it.
So do people actually eat it as a candy?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
That's but it, because it, when you add sugar to the brewing process, it gets the yeast really excited. Yeah,
no, I know
as,
that.
Mark Nasky would say, and just pushes the alcohol up a little bit.
Right.
Now, speaking of alcohol, this one is not quite as strong. This one's a 6.5, but it does have 61 IBUs, as I'm reading off your chalkboard over there. Now, what's the name of it, and why do you call it that?
It's called the Cold Taxi because we researched it because it is a, you know, an English style ale that back in the day, a cold taxi was kind of like when you're like getting sick of somebody and you want them to leave or whatever. You're like, hey, you know what? Let me get you a cold taxi, like get out of my hair type of thing. So we've had a lot of fun putting that name up, and we have customers that comes in, you know, and first thing he says, I'm here for my taxi. Give me my taxi, you know, so we have fun with that.
So, yes, indeed. This is surprising because I got a very nice slow start to it. Came in, needed a little bit of a little bit of tasting, and then all of a sudden you got those IBUs coming in so that it finishes really not bad bitter, but you know, you've got that bitter finish and then slight dryness. This is quite unique.
Yeah, it is. It's really a unique beer that we came out with. That was one of Joe's creations. That was something that he did a blend with that I don't even know everything that went on with that beer. But when it came out, it was kind of a let's see what happens. And we were really pleasantly surprised with it. And
I've been going for about 38 years from England. So this must be a new version of what we used to call the cold shoulder. Or we used to give you the big E, i.e. give you the elbow, nudge you out of distance. So if you want a different name for it, call it the big E.
There you go. Well, that'll be the next time we put it up, we'll change it to the big E.
So have you tried brewing any other English beers traditionally? I mean, the English IPA is obviously a lot different to the American IPA.
Sure.
Real ale is something that's very difficult for the American palate to kind of accommodate and also to sell, which more importantly, you're in the business of moving beer, right?
And actually the English style is starting to come around a little bit. People are getting more familiar with it, especially in Indiana. And I don't know if you agree on
this. Is there a lot of English in Indiana?
No, not really. Oh. I just do feel doing both sides, being Illinois and Indiana when we distribute and all that, and go to the beer fest, that Indiana has a better knowledge of beer than Illinois does. I don't know why that is, but they just seem to be looking for they don't want to know just the beer they're drinking. They want to know what's in it and the creativity of it, and you know what draws them to it. And the English style is starting to be something that they're getting questions with and like getting interested in. So I think you're going to see them a lot more. And we've played around with them here and there. But this is something that next year I think we're going to come out with more of them because we've had great response out of it. You know, everybody's really liked that beer, and I think we're going to continue doing it.
We brewed with another local brewery in Illinois, Hot Vine. We brewed an English pale ale, which was just Maris Otter malt and East Kent Golding hops. It turned out to be very to style, but I think from the American palate, it didn't. It only brewed a small batch of it, if you will.
Right.
But it didn't come out to the American palate. So, how do we train the American palate to look at things differently? When we say have a nice pint of best bitter, they go, I don't want anything that's bitter.
Right, and that's what we were talking about earlier with the Griffith Cream Ale, and we start them out with a lighter palated beer, and then we're like, all right, let's try this, and we'll bring it up a little bit at a time, and then they're like, oh, this is different, and then it gets them to want to go into more trendier beers. Like we also did our Little Red Beard, which is it's a hybrid beer. It's a cross between like an amber and then a wit beer. And that's another one that we tend towards people that are not really into craft beer. We lean them into that, and that's one of our top beers for that.
I just got another sip of the strong ale. I just got a little toffee going on in there, or something like that. Vanillary, toffee, caramel, something like that.
That's the secret of Joe's mind. That's all some right. of that stuff I don't even know. Like I said,
it's a secret
Maybe
ingredient.
Maybe he's had too many samples.
I know. It's been a long day, but somebody's got to do this.
Yeah, we're going to have to get him his cold taxi.
The other beer that you mentioned and that I have a sample of here is a Rausch beer, which is actually a smoked porter. So obviously English porter in its many varieties, you know, and I don't know quite whether today's bears any resemblance to what it originally was back in the old days, but porters, do you do many of those?
Yes, we do. We try to do at least four or five a year, different styles. We did a big porter for our last year for Progy Fest. Progy Fest. It's a fest out in, Whiting, Indiana. So we mess around with that. We do Baltic porters. We do just a traditional porter. You know, and then we'll ramp it up once in a while and give it a really strong porter, you know, so.
I like that smoky flavor.
The smoked porter here, I haven't even got to tasting it yet, but the smokiness, does it have any wood relation? Like some is birch, some is beech rather.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the beech one right now. Other is oak, Alaskan smoked porter they do with, what the heck do they use up there? Is one specific type of wood?
Yeah. That one here is a smoke malt as well. I'm not sure the base on that were which smoke they used. That's something that Joe would know more on than I would.
Okay.
But it's good beer.
Good is an understatement. So Rausch beer, is my favorite style. This gives me almost a Bamberg memory, right? You know, so the Bamberg Rausch beers are really, really intense. This is intense but has that porter kind of smoothness at the back,
right? Yeah. And that's exactly what we try to create. You're gonna get the smokiness, the subtle smokiness up front, and then you're gonna kind of balance out to the smoothness on the back end of just the flavor of the beer itself, and you start catching the malts and everything else, and it tapers it off to keep it a balance that I think is perfectly balanced for that beer.
It is. It's great. When you're brewing beers, which is the favorite one you like to brew?
That's a tough question, actually. The more complex the beer is, the more we like the challenge, you know. And sometimes, you know, like an IPA is an IPA. I mean, we'll basically, let's call it, anybody, you know, IPA is the easiest style to brew. As far as like getting into it, being a beginning brewer and everything, it's got a very easy grain build on it, got a very, throw a bunch of hops at it, you know, you're good. But then when you start getting into the trickier styles, the complex styles like these porters, the smoky ones, where you got to make sure that balance is just right, otherwise it can, you know, go way too smoky, and then, or it could be the other way, it could be way too malty on one end and it's just overpowering. So that's the fun part that we have, is trying to, you know, get those complex beers. Let's do something that's really hard, you know. And Joe is probably one of the best at knowing the balance on that, and just, it's like tying his shoes to him on that. And that's one part that I'm still fascinated with. I'm with him every day, and I still am amazed on how much talent he has in that.
So if you had one beer that you have never brewed but would like to brew, regardless of cost, of ingredients, and time, what would that be?
That's a tough question. I don't even know how to answer that one. Because I think we've pretty much...
We ask the tough questions here on the Brit and Yankee Craft Beer Podcast.
We've taken a crack at pretty much everything. I mean, there's not nothing that we haven't tried or wanted to try. That'd be tough. I'd have to think about that one. That'd be a interesting.
Okay, there you go. I've set you a challenge.
Yeah,
now.
More to come.
Yeah, more to come, right?
We did dabble. We were talking about getting in some of the sours, but the sours are hard to get into because of the fact that you're adding bacteria to a tank, and you know, from what everybody's told us and what we've done research on is that pretty much once you start a sour in that tank is dedicated just for sours.
Oh, really?
Because it's very hard to get that bacteria out of that tank to make it usable again to brew your traditional style beers. So that's kind of one that we haven't tackled yet, but that we may, you know, branch out to.
You have one on there. You talked about a double IPA. You have one, and is this Zombie Monkey?
Yeah, Zombie
okay.
Monkey.
Okay, so is that a hat tip to your friends up the road in Munster?
No, it is actually not at all. We actually did a version of this last year, and we called it Zombie Dumb. And that was
Zombie Dumb.
D-U-M-B.
Okay. He said dung. Wait a minute, that's a good name for beer.
No, it was Zombie Dumb. Yeah. And a lot of people right away said, you guys are taking a slam at Three Floyds. Yeah. And we're like, no, we know them guys. Yeah. They're friends of ours. And we told them that Joe and I are really into music, and Reverend Horton Heat did a song called Zombie Dumb. And that's where the name came from. So this year when we brewed this again, you know, we said, all right, you know, people are giving us a lot of hard time about that. Let's just change it to Zombie. And we went to Zombie Monkey because we also do a double IPA called Monkey Assassin. So we figured it would be easier to transfer it to that than it would be to have to deal with the Zombie Dumb again.
It's amazing. How do you name your beers? Do you just sit around and say, hey, something's cool?
Yeah, sometimes it's late night drinking and, you know, we're getting silly. And, you know, sometimes we're just being creative, you know, and we do have fun with the beers. You know, we try to keep it really light, you know, as far as don't take it seriously in the names and have fun with it.
Yeah, you were talking earlier about how, you know, basically it shouldn't get too serious. When it gets serious is when you having hard times, you're not making money. How's business here in Griffith with three breweries like this?
It's good. It's really good for the town and for us as far as the three breweries go. The biggest challenge that we see that comes up is this area is getting so saturated down with breweries. Like when we first got into business, I think there was under 20 breweries, and then now, as of last year, I think they're at like 27, 28 breweries and still growing.
In the Indiana
just
Hammond
within
Gary
15,
area.
20 miles of each really? Other. Yeah. I mean there's still plenty of market out there for it, but it is getting harder and it's getting more saturated. And you know, you can only do so many IPAs, you know, and everybody has IPAs, so that's why we kind of stuck to our guns of doing the different styles, you know, doing our Belgian styles, you know, and doing the more complex stuff. So,
all right, well, we'll take another quick break and come back and talk about the futures and your rather delicious looking food menu.
Early morning cold taxi.
I went an extra sample because one of the beers that was on your menu was Wookiee Love, and having just watched the Solo movie, A Star Wars Story as they call it, is that where you got the name from, because you like Star Wars?
Yeah.
It's a Russian Imperial Stout, so there's no relationship there.
Yes.
Unless Putin is a Wookiee.
No,
I don't know. Am I a Wookiee or I don't know?
It's just having fun with the Star Wars. Yeah, we're kind of Trekkie geeks and Star Wars geeks. And, you know, so we were having fun with the name. And actually, I'll show you the artwork in a minute that we had for that. But it was... you know, a beer so good it makes you want to kiss a Wookiee.
Yeah.
Is what the tagline was for it. We actually have a picture. I'll show you the artwork that is Princess Leia and Chewie are standing next to each other, and Chewie's got his hand on her boob, and she's got this surprised look on her face, and he's got a big smile on his face. You know.
So the lovely Kimberly, you're tasting this because you read the description of the beer.
Yeah, and I'm all over cocoa and cherries.
Okay, Coke, and it says fire roasted cherries. That's the first time I've seen, I think, a beer with fire roasted cherries. Tell us how you do that.
That's a secret that we don't give out.
Damn it! All right, okay. It is... So cherry and stout is a very good combination. Yes. Russian Imperial, this is coming in at 10%, I think.
Yes, sir, 10%. It's a heavy hitter, you know, it's because it's got the sweetness on it, and most Russian Imperials are on the heavier side just because of that.
So what cuts through this to make it not quite as sweet, which it isn't?
The way we designed it with the build and the way the yeast that we used in it, we kind of fine-tuned it so it would tame it down, but not enough to where it would bland it and make it kind of like just more, I don't know how to explain it. Like a Russia, I've only came across like two Russian Imperials that really had no flavor. Mm. You know, most of them they do.
Okay, name names.
It was a brewery in Ohio. I don't remember the name of the brewery, but it was a Russian Imperial, and I think they had just opened, so they were just kind of figuring that out. And it was, you could taste the build of everything was there, but it just didn't have, I think they were scared they were going to overdo it and make it too sweet, so they did it the other way, and they made it too kind of bland on the back end. So we balanced that out so that our intentions were to have you hit in the front that it's a heavy stout, and then blend out in the back so that it's a little lighter, and then you start getting more of the flavor instead of such the heavy body. And it seems to work that way.
Yeah, I think it works very, very well. It doesn't have a real thick, smooth finish. Right. It has a slight tartiness, and then there must be something with that fire roasting going on in there, because there's something different. And most delicious, but second to the smoke border for me. But there you go.
There you go.
You do 3 bomber bottles that I taken pictures of, boxes of them here behind me.
Yes.
Pokro's. Oh
the
god.
Rediska.
Thank you
there again. the Bock, and then the other one
Bock is Lager. Is our. It's also a Bock Lager, and that's when we did our Pocktoberfest. We do a big Halloween style beer fest that we do right outside on Broad Street, and we shut Broad Street down, and it's a big beer fest. So that's where the Pocktoberfest came from.
So those are three very traditional styles.
Yes.
That are good sellers. Is that the only ones you bottle? Are you going into canning? What's going on?
Yeah, we are getting ready to start canning and bottling. These were just the runs that we did because they are a traditional style and the easiest that we can seller. That we can keep, you know, using and selling as we go. So that was our trial run to do. So we are going to go with like a mobile bottle and canner. It's just easier that way. With our space, we don't have enough room to bring a cold canning line in and keep it there all the time. So in the future, that we will be probably here in the spring, we're going to start canning everything. And Dirty Blonde will be one of them that we can. Definitely Race Cars and Unicorns is another one we can.
Which is an IPA?
Yes, it's our American IPA. Also, we have our Caveman, which is our... That one's not on. It'll be back on soon. We've got to brew it. That's our brown ale that we do, that our motto of our business is actually based off of.
Oh, really?
Drink Like a Caveman was what the tagline is for that beer.
I see all the T-shirts.
Yeah. Yeah, it is on all our T-shirts.
Oh, right. Okay, I see that, you also have a chamomile wheat ale. So you're obviously experimenting with different ingredients, different adjuncts. Right. You know, what's the wackiest one you put in?
Oh, geez. I'm trying to think. What is the wackiest one we've done? we've played around with, like, we've done some pretty hardcore grapefruits, you know, and we called it the Grace Fruit, which was Polish for grapefruit. And, you know, we've played around with that. We've done some beers with, we do a thing called Plum Crazy every year. It is a Belgian blonde that we do a second fermentation with plums. And with the plums and the sugars that come in that, when you drink that beer, it almost comes in like a tart, almost like a sour. It's the closest thing of being a sour without being a sour. And it's a good seasonal beer that we do for Pierogi Fest up in Whiting every year. And that's kind of a wacky one that's really turned out well for us. And it's roughly 55, 60 pounds of fresh plums that we've had to use for that well.
What about barrel aging? I haven't seen so far in the 3 breweries too many barrels. It seems to be very clean everyday fresh beer.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. We do have, like, you've had a Russian Imperial. We did the Russian Imperial with some extra cherry in it, and we actually put it in journeyman barrels. And we do have that in our cellar right now that's sitting there, you know, waiting. It's been in there about 7-8 months now, so.
And that's ready to come out?
Probably at the end of the year.
Okay, come down there at the end of the year, folks.
Yeah, maybe sooner. I mean, because, you know, I see difference with the barrel age stuff is that if you go past 6-7 months with them, you have a chance of the barrel going bad. So you got to really watch it. So we got to start pulling this out. And like you guys know, the longer you can keep it in that barrel, the better, because it'll just draw all that out of the wood and make it even stronger, better, more flavor. So we're at that point now where we're going to start sampling and see where we're at. So it may come out sooner. It all depends.
So the future for Pokro Brewing looks very bright. Anything that we need to look out for next year? Coming into Illinois?
Illinois, we're gonna branch out more with our IPAs and be unique with our IPAs. So we'll do a little different, like even our race cars and unicorns. It's more of a tangerine instead of like the most hoppier IPAs that we get. So it's kind of a little different. Everything we do is kind of a little different than the norm. We want to always go that different path. We're not afraid. Just to give you a kind of a backstory, kind of like we used to when we first started, we were on a 3-barrel system, and we're growing so fast that we couldn't keep up with production, and Joe and I had to be in the back like almost 24 hours a day, double batching just to keep up with demand. So we decided to go up to a 10-barrel system. And when we went up to that 10-barrel system, then give everybody an idea, we went from going to 800 barrels a year to now we can do almost 3,000 barrels a year.
Wow.
So I mean, that's the size difference that we're working with. So when Joe and I, we got the system and we got up and running, I was on the conservative side of like, all right, are we gonna try a little small batch? He's like, nah, we're gonna go for it. Oh. And right off the bat, we're throwing a 10-barrel batch in, and I'm like nervous as can be, you know, like, oh man, this is, you know, because when you're bumping that high of a batch up, yeah. All your ingredients change. It's not like, oh, like when you're cooking, you just, oh, I gotta add this. It doesn't work that way in brewing. You know, things when they're in bulk, they start changing.
Right.
So, but he was confident about it and he did it, and it sure enough came out right. And we were like, wow. It's not as much, you know, tweaking we had to do. So that's I'm fortunate to have Joe be able to know all that, because I was nervous.
You didn't have to throw any batches down the drain.
No, we have not. And that's one thing that I, you know, a lot of people won't say, but we have not had to ever flush a batch down or say it's not a good batch anymore or not sell. We've been very fortunate to have beers that have always sold and that people have liked.
Yeah.
So
we end our interviews with the $64,000 question.
Okay.
And that is...
It's actually a two-part question.
A two-part question. First one is, where can people find you? And that is the phone number and the address.
The address is 311 North Broad Street.
See, he went to the address immediately. And the phone number?
And the phone number is 219-924-7950.
He did know it. And you can find you online, right?
Yes, you can find us at PacroBrewingCompany.com, or you can find us on Facebook under Pacro Brewing.
And we will be down here October 20th with 30 craft beer drinkers looking to anxiously try these beers. And I will be recommending a few.
Yeah, and you'll actually get a taste of our Sea Witch will be back out by then. It'll be out next weekend. That's our oatmeal stout that we do.
Ooh, I do like a good oatmeal
it's
stout.
It's a very good balanced oatmeal stout, so I think you'll be
Sam Smith's
surprised.
Oriented.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, good man. All right. So, I like a good oatmeal stout. Nice and smooth and delicious.
This one is really, it's one of my favorites.
Cool. So we'll be looking forward to coming back down here. Dave, thank you so much indeed for giving us the time of day.
Yeah, thanks for
we enjoyed watching you cleaning your lines. Everybody, he does have clean lines.
Yeah there you go. Hey, yeah, caught me in the middle of working. So.
And his tappers are quite clean too.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to cheers with, because Dave hasn't got a beer, so I'm going to have to cheers with Kimberly. Thank you. Cheers. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Beer belly, the trousers seem too small. puffed out on the disco floor. I can't do my trousers up no more. Zombie belly, belly, beer belly, belly, beer belly, 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 beer belly. Zombie belly, belly, beer belly, belly, beer belly, 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 beer belly.
Britain Yankee!
Britain Yankee!
I'll have a pint, now. Go, give us a pint. You got any tetanus?
A pint, please, Bob. Give another pint, please, Bob.